For all who are here tonight, finishing up Psalm 64 tonight as we get ready to move into Psalm 65. Psalm 65 should be a rather interesting one. As we finish up on Psalm 64. Oh, Sticks and Stones, Part 5, Jack. We're in Part 5, and hopefully we'll close it all up here tonight. And our verses tonight, we'll begin with verses 4 or 5. We'll close right on through to verse 10 here tonight as we move along. So, verse 4 says, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect, suddenly do they shoot at him, and fear not. We should probably read verse 3 too. Who wet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect, suddenly do they shoot at him, and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of the lying, they commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, both the inward and thought of every one of them, and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away, and all men shall fear and shall declare the work of the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord, and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. When we're dealing with words, we see a lot of information given in here about how words can be used in a good way. They can be used in a very evil way. And those who boast about themselves, using their own words to build up themselves, if it's an unrealistic assessment, then it's going to come back on them to haunt them for sure. But some people talk a good game, whether it is in a resume or two contestants about to face off with each other prior to wrestling or a boxing match. It's always fun to kind of watch them in the boxing match, and they're talking about a big fight coming up there, and they get in each other's face trying to intimidate each other and one thing or another. And so probably the one you probably might remember the most with Muhammad Ali. He was always in the opponent's face one way or another and telling about how he was going to knock their clock for a few loops for sure. But sometimes it is just trash talk. I didn't spell trash right, but I got a C where it should be an S. Sorry about that. But you don't see it, and I do. So sometimes it's just trash talk, and at other times it's backed up by one's ability. So you better know your opponent, or you better know those who you're hanging around with. So in tonight's look at Psalm 64, verses 4 through 5, and then again 6 through 10. David, in his analysis of the past events involved in Absalom's rebellion, it appears based on the final outcome that Absalom and Ahithophel were more confident in their abilities than they actually were capable of delivering. But you know, that's what happens when you come in the flesh and you move yourself against God, or you move against God. It's not going to turn out well, one way or the other, for you, the individual. So it is good to be encouraged in an endeavor, especially when God is in the center and your desires are to glorify and magnify him. But in this situation, we have Absalom and Ahithophel failed to take God and his will into account. Folks, always put God first. Always put him at the very center. And then allow him to guide you and to direct you. Absalom and Ahithophel, the thing that they're doing, no matter how they try to justify themselves, God was not in it, as we would say it. And so we continue in Psalm 64, looking at the four prior points very quickly the last Wednesday evening, the impact concerning the impact of words. Words can be intimidating, and we know that. As we said before, we've watched some boxers and wrestlers and stuff, maybe even some of the football teams and stuff. They trash talk one another for sure. Number two, we looked at words can be the source of evil deeds, and of course words can be very, very evil in and of themselves. Thirdly, we looked at words can encourage rebellion, and certainly David used his words very cunningly and very craftily to line up all of what he thought were his ducks in a row to rebel against his father David. And then we said, fourthly, that words can kill from a distance, and that they certainly can. You can say things on one side of the United States and ruin someone's life on the other side. Now with the internet the way it is there, you can say things. We hear about a lot about bullying, cyberbullying, or just the fact that people can put whatever they want to put on the internet there, and they can destroy a business, they can destroy an individual's life. And so words are dangerous, and they're dangerous certainly from a distance as well. And so tonight, as we finish up the last two points here, words create the illusion of success. Some people talk a good talk, but they don't walk a good walk. And as Christians, we need to be able to walk the talk and talk the walk. There should be a total consistency through that. But anyway, Psalm 64, verses 4 and 5, it says, And they may shoot in secret at the perfect, that is the mature, suddenly, or the innocent, suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil manner. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? Now, Absalom was patient initially in stealing the hearts of the men of Israel. And you read about that in 2 Samuel 15, verses 3 and 4, where when they came to have an audience with the king, Absalom was there, and he would call them aside, and, hey, listen, basically my dad's not going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to you. And I will have your best interest at heart. Well, Absalom only had his own interest at heart. And he knew that in order to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish, he had to turn the hearts of the men of Israel against King David. So Absalom has come to the place where he is overconfident, and he moves forward. He feels he has won the hearts of the men, and maybe even there were conversations in the various... I mean, the cities were not like our cities today. The roads were narrow. They weren't any broad roads down there in those places. If you've ever been over there, you'd see that some of those were... I mean, to get three people side by side down a street or down a walkway or something, but there must have been rumors around, and it was coming back to David that he was successful in turning the hearts from David and winning them to himself. And so the rebellion has become a success. I mean, he has stolen the hearts of the men. The trumpet was blown, and Absalom is heading towards the city of Jerusalem. He's going to take it over. David gets wind of this, and so David grabs about 600 of his valiant men and whatever else he needs to take with him, and he flees the city. And so his father David has fled the city with his trusted entourage, and it looks to Absalom that he has accomplished a clean coup in battles in the city. I mean, David, he left the city so there would not be a major battle and innocent people, because he put two and two together, and he came up with the fact that Absalom had been lying to the men of Israel, and he had stolen their hearts because he promised them things that, well, he wasn't going to be able to deliver one way or the other, but if he could take over the kingdom, then he would deliver on some of the goods that he had stolen the hearts of the people over. But most of the people have willingly adopted Absalom as their new king. And it seems like all is well. Everything is going the way Absalom wants to. And Ahithophel comes alongside of him, and both of them are encouragement to one another about the rebellion against David. And of course, Ahithophel wants Absalom's troops to go after David and to get David and kill him while he's on the run. And that would have been Ahithophel's getting even with David because of what he did to his grandson Uriah and his wife Bathsheba. And so most of the people have willingly adopted him as their new king, except God. God has not accepted him, and it was not God's will. And so it is never wise to work or fight against God's will in any matter. And certainly this is what Absalom and Ahithophel did along with the other conspirators. They worked against God. I don't see anywhere Absalom said God is with us. I don't see anywhere where Absalom had prayed about what he was about to do. I don't know that even Ahithophel did any of those things either as well. They took it upon themselves. They saw the chance. They took the opportunity to get rid of David and get rid of his men. And so they had discounted, and this is what happened. We get away from God, or we put God in the back burner, and we don't count God in the equation of whatever the problem might be or whatever the situation might be. We have to make sure that God is first and foremost. And that's exactly what David did when he was on the lam, so to speak. And so it would initially seem that Absalom's war of words appeared to be successful, while in reality, his words were of no comparison to the words of David, as David, leaving the city, cried out to God. That's the first thing that David really did. First thing he said, there's a problem. I'm going to go and take it to the Lord. He took it to the Lord. And, of course, we see that God had a plan to defeat Ahithophel and Absalom as well. So words do not always convey reality, do they? Absalom, with all the confidence that a rebel could muster, and Ahithophel as well, they thought they had this thing locked up tight, and only to find out that it was going to come unglued very quickly. And so the unscrupulous salesmen will do whatever they have to do to seal a deal. They'll tell you that this was a car that was driven by a little old lady who never went more than 10 miles, only drove it down to the corner gas station and came back, and that's all she ever did with it. And then you're going to find out there that, she must have been a real roughie on those guys, I mean, zipping and zooming and doing whatever. So they want to make the sale. They want to seal the deal. And so you have to be careful, don't you? And on the internet and Craigslist, there is no lack of people who deceive. If you go on a Craigslist and those places like that, you better be praying that God's going to open up a good deal for you. Because somebody's out there has got something to sell, and if you're foolish enough to buy it without really getting it checked out, it's sort of like buyer's remorse. You know, hey, you could have checked it out, you could have dealt with it, but if you didn't do that. And so when you deal with these folks, they tend to leave you feeling that you got the best of the deal until a few days later, and you realize that, no, you got snookered. You got taken on this particular deal. Well, it's important, isn't it? Even in the small things or the seemingly small things in life, that we make sure that we're following with the Lord, walking with the Lord, and that the Lord is leading us and guiding us and directing us. And give us the signals that we need to make sure that we're not about ready to enter into a bad deal. And the men of Israel, when they bought into Absalom and Ahithophel, they did not do it very wisely. And they no indication that they were all either praying for the Lord to guide and direct them in that particular situation. So a brief moment or so, Absalom lived in a dream world in which he believed his own words of encouragement had won the day until it was too late, as God had chosen to act upon the words of David rather than his. And real quickly, in 2 Samuel chapter 15, 2 Samuel chapter 15, looking at verse 30 and 32. Now, all right. And it says there, and David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet, and he wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators. Okay, the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Now, he didn't ask for Ahithophel's life. He didn't ask for Absalom's life. He simply asked that God would turn the foolishness of the counsel of either one of those two, that he'd turn it into foolishness. And that's exactly what God did, because David had an individual he sent back to also work as a counselor, and he opposed Ahithophel. And, well, things went quickly south on them. So when we're in the Word of God and applying the principles and the precepts to our lives, we are able to maintain a realistic view of the world. And in spite of Satan's baubles and spangles, no matter what he promises, reality is that he is a liar. He can promise you the moon. What good is the moon? God already owns it. It all belongs to God. But the truth of the matter is, Satan promises a lot of people a lot of things. Sometimes he'll promise Christians things because they're not aware that it is Satan that is guiding and directing him rather than actually the Spirit of the Lord. Listen, that's why we have to be in the Word of God. That's why we have to be in a good walking relationship with the Lord. So, you know, it's one of those things that she said, you know, I just knew there was something wrong. I just knew there was something. Well, why'd you go ahead with it? Probably because you weren't listening to the voice of the Lord. And the old saying goes that if a deal's too good to be true, then it is probably not so. We have to be careful about it in our own lives with words and what people say and what the government promises or what other people promise one thing or another. And so when we are in the Word of God and applying the principles and the precepts to our lives, we are able to maintain a realistic view. We can begin to see and sense something just doesn't seem right here. I'm going to check this out. Listen, you have to be pretty smart to be on the internet. Not to get on the internet. Any nutcase can get on the internet. But you got to be careful because some things on it, listen, these people who are scam artists out there, they hone this thing into a science. They can make it so seem so real that you were reading your own obituary and you didn't know that you were reading your own obituary. They're just so clever out there. But you know, when you look at something, and if you're going to be in it, say, Lord, keep me safe. Lord, there may be things in my email box that people are lying to me, people are going to deceive, they're going to take this, they're going to take that. If I'm not, and Lord, help me not to be foolish on the internet. Because, you know, if someone has once said there, if it's on the internet, it must be true. I don't think so. But there's a lot of gullible people, and if you have a tendency to be one of those who kind of, you're not sure about things, the best thing to do is get the mind of the Lord. Lord, guide and direct me. Lord, help me to see clearly. Help me to think clearly. Because even some of the things they promise you on the internet out there, even on Facebook, they've got stuff out there that you can, the commercials, now it's turned into more commercial as family. They're offering things out that way. It is a bunch of cheap junk for the most part. And they make it seem like it's so great, you can't live without it. You got to have it, got to have this. And they make all kinds of promises of that. And then it's going to cost, for one thing, it takes you forever to get it. And then it takes you forever to try to get it, send it back when you find out it's been misrepresented. So anyway, Satan is a liar, he's a deceiver and a destroyer, and we need the full counsel of God to be able to see through the lies and the deceptions that are constantly out there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'll just turn there, and it says here concerning this, therefore seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He has got the lost world duped. He's got them over a barrel. Because they're listening to him, and they're listening to his ministers, I guess that's what we call them, his ministers who are out there lying and deceiving equally as well. And the only way you're going to know what is true or not true when it comes to between God and Satan is to make sure that you're in the Word of God, walking with God, and asking God to give you that ability to discern what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, what is right, and what is righteous, and what is evil. And God will grant that. It'll be amazing, the insight that you have, or the sense. When those little antennas, the little hairs in the back of your neck begin to stand up, there's probably something wrong somewhere, and you need to back off and say, you know what, I need to think about this. I need to pray about this and get the mind of the Lord. So anyway, we need to be men and women who convey the truth and the true reality of God and his words to a lost and a dying world. We should be the bastions of truth. Amen? When we speak, it should be with truth. No guile, no deception, but it should be absolute truth, because that's what God is. God is absolute truth, and if we're not absolute truth, then we can't be a reflection of God. And the world will take notice. If you and I get caught in deception, we get caught in guile, they look at us and say, and you call yourself a Christian. You call yourself a Christian. Well, anyway, we go down to number six tonight. Words can stir God to action, and that is true. Psalm 64, verses 7 through 10 there, if we will. And the Bible says, but God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. Now, he's talking about truth here and also retribution. And so, verse 8 says, So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. In other words, it's all going to come back to haunt them. We heard that expression. That choice, that decision, or that promise, whatever it is, it's going to come back to haunt them along the way. And that's what he's talking about here. So all that see them shall flee away, and all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. And so many undoubtedly felt abandoned when David left the city to disappear in the wilderness. Well, there was something that David knew that some of his followers did not know. And that was that God already knew all about this. God had it already worked out. And so David, we're going to trust completely in God. Because that's probably not what some of those 600 warriors that he had around him, they probably would have rather have stayed and to have fought. And so when we have had time to learn and to walk with God, each and every experience imparts additional understanding to the faithful. A trust that is based on experience with God. God would never, ever lie to us. Never, ever. And so we can trust God. And so David knew that he did not have to deal with the dangerous and the deadly words of Absalom or Ahithophel, because God also heard the words and God intervened. So evil words never go unpunished, or I should say, never go unnoticed by God. It's an interesting verse here in the book of Isaiah, just over a couple. In Isaiah 66 and verse 5. I think it's very appropriate and can be certainly applied to all the garbage in the world, whether you consider a global warming as something that's serious or whether you consider it as a hoax. But there are individuals out there who are making a fortune off of this. They're aggrandizing themselves at your expense because you're the ones who are going to have to pay for it. We're all going to have to pay for it, I should say. But in Isaiah 66 and verse 5, the Bible said, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed." And so you stand the ground, hold your ground, stand where God stands. Don't allow yourself to be intimidated. Don't allow yourself to be moved. And know that God will stand with you, and God will stand for you. God always has our back if we have our face toward him. So we may not always know why God doesn't act immediately or when we think he ought to, but when God does move, it is usually swift and it is almost, well, it's always thorough. God is always thorough in how he moves. Once the rebellion took place, things began to unravel for Absalom and things began to unravel for Ahithophel. And Ahithophel saw that it was going to come undone. He perceived that as soon as his counsel and Hushai's counsel, who gave a different kind of counsel than Ahithophel, and Hushai's was accepted, Ahithophel's was not accepted, guess what happened? Ahithophel said, okay, this is going to come undone real quick. And it did. What did Ahithophel do? Anybody remember what he did? The Bible says he went home, put his house in order, and he hung himself. So, what are the chances that one would have so much hair that they would get tangled, get it tangled in the tree branches? Men, keep your hair short. Women, stay out of horses, off of horses, and run through the forest. All right? But men like us, we don't have to worry about getting our hair caught and tangled up in the tree, and the horse going on, and there we are hanging in, by our hair in the tree. So I can't imagine how long his hair must have been. But Ahithophel recognized the problem. He went home, put his house in order, took his own life. How embarrassing must that have been? You've claimed the throne from your father. You've led a lot of the men of Israel to battle against David and his soldiers, so to speak. And here you are, you get hung up in a tree, dangling there. Oh, he must have felt so foolish. And of course we know, yet the humiliation of Absalom, that is exactly what happened, and Joab took Absalom's life in a helpless, embarrassing, but fitting end. He died as a fool died. All because God knew these men's hearts, and he heard their words. It is never wise to raise one's hand against the anointed of the Lord. If God wanted David deposed from his throne, God would be the one to do so. And he would do so in his own way. As it says in verse 9, "And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing," that is God's doings in a situation. And David did just that. Words indeed can stir God, whether it is the prayer of the righteous for good or evil words from the wicked to recompense them accordingly. But God loves truth because God is truth. Let's make sure that we don't fall prey, but make sure that we are also known for truth. Wouldn't it be nice for someone to come and say, and you were being questioned about something, and enough people came along and said, you know what, I know so-and-so. They would never lie. They would never, ever lie. And that should be our testimony. God's people will always be honest, not just with our words, but in our conversation, that we walk in a lost and a dark world as truth ministers in life, in appearance, and in deed before the world. Amen? All right. That finishes Psalm.